Now I'm anxious to bring this message because I'm going to preach to myself and let you listen in. I'm anxious to hear it. I'm anxious that God, by His grace, apply it. You know, it's amazing to me that the church has survived. It's not amazing to me that the church has survived persecution, because that strengthens the believers. But it's amazing to me that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ even still exists on this earth because of the terrible, rotten preaching to which it has been subjected. It's amazing. There are very few prophets of God. There are very few honest preachers. And I say that with a broken heart. It's sad, but it's true. And a great majority of the preachers who stand in the pulpit today will be preaching down to the people. Down to the people. Very few of them, like Jeremiah, will make their own hearts the target for God's arrows. Very few of them. You see, the objective of most preachers is to call on people to believe as they believe. Have my experience. Believe as I believe. Do what I've done. Be like me. Or many preachers today will just weary their people with their intellectualism, with their foolish questions, genealogies, endless genealogies, and strivings about the law, their biblical knowledge, wise men, learn from me. Or they'll be seeking to build a religious organization or a denomination. Or as Paul said, warned the elders at Antioch, men will rise up among yourselves seeking to draw disciples after themselves. We certainly don't need any disciples. We're disciples ourselves. We're learners of Christ. Or the preachers today will have all the answers concerning prophecy, the end time, the last days, the purposes of God. But this man Jeremiah, called the weeping prophet, how honestly he writes here, as God deals with him, as God speaks to him, as God preaches to him. Look at verse 5. And this is the way it's written in the Amplified Version, which helps us a little. The Lord rebuked Jeremiah. The Lord rebuked his preacher. Speaks to his preacher. And he says to him, if you have raced with men on foot and you're tired out, you're weary, then how are you going to contend with the horses? How are you going to run with the horses? And if you take to flight and be wearied in a land of peace and plenty and security in which you trust, what are you going to do in the swelling of the Jordan when it reaches over its banks, when it comes time for you to... And that's when the Jordan overflowed its banks, was during harvest. During harvest. When God comes to cut you down and take you away, if it's wearied you in this land of peace and plenty, what are you going to do then? So I understand what this is all about. Well, to understand it, we have to go back a few verses. And that's true of most any scripture. That's true of most any scripture. I get so weary of these preachers jumping like a crow from one corn stalk to another and just quoting a scripture out of its context, just quote it out of its context, just apply it to anything, anytime, anywhere. God comes to Jeremiah and he rebukes him, his prophet, his preacher. And he said, if you've run with a bunch of men and you're worn out, how are you going to contend with the horses? If in a land of peace and plenty, you're weary and you take the flight and you quit, what are you going to do in the swelling of the Jordan? Now here's where all this started, back here in verse 1. Jeremiah said, righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Now here's what he's saying. Lord, let me establish something, something I know, something beyond question. You are righteous. You are righteous. Jeremiah, whatever I got to say, he said, Lord, whatever I think, whatever I've got to say, let this one thing be established. I don't mean in any way to question your righteousness. Now, I don't mean to, he said. I don't mean to question your justice and righteousness. Lord, you are holy and righteous. Holy and reverent is thy name. You're just and true. Now, that's true of any believer. No believer is going to charge God with unrighteousness. No, sir. No believer is going to charge God with being unfair, unjust, or unwise. Now just write that down. God's holy in all his ways. Abraham said, shall not the judge of the earth do right? When God came to him and told him about Sodom's doom, that he was going to destroy the land of Sodom, but Abraham prayed for Sodom and the people. But he said, let this be established. Whatever you do, God will be right. And that's what Jeremiah is saying here. Eli said that. When Samuel came to him and said, God's going to kill your two sons. Well, he said, it's the Lord. Let him do what he will. Job knew that. Job did not charge God with foolishness. He said, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all of this, Job did not charge God foolishness. Or with foolishness. So let that be established. That's the first thing Jeremiah said. O Lord, you're righteous. Can you establish that? Can you establish that? God's righteous. God's just. You with me? Yes. Let me talk with you. I know you're righteous and just, but I want to reason with you a little bit. I've got some complaints. That's what he said. Let me talk with you about your judgments. What's God's judgment? God's providence. I want to question you, Lord, God. I know you're righteous. Now, please don't misunderstand Jeremiah. He's established that. I know you're just and holy and righteous in all your ways. But I got some complaints to make about your providence and your judgments. And here they are. You ready, Lord? Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? I want to know, why does the way of the wicked prosper? Fella takes God's name in vain every other breath. A vile, wretched rebel. A conniving, dishonest individual. But everything he touches turns to gold. He prospered. I want to know why. And I want to know something else. Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Why are people happy and at ease when they mistreat other people and deal treacherously with them? I read about some fellow up in New York that owned a bunch of those tenement houses in the ghetto. Rich man. Rich. Living in the lap of luxury and plenty while rats ate the children of the people that rented his no-count, low-down houses. That's what Jeremiah... How can these people... I want to know, people that deal treacherously and miserably with other people, how come you let them be so happy? You say, Jeremiah, what are you doing? You've done it. And so have I. So have I. That's exactly doing just what we do. Why does the believer suffer and the unbeliever prosper? David went through this. Psalm 73, you read it sometime. David got a little more personal than this. He said, I was like a beast before God. Why does a man who preaches the truth, who cares about the glory of God and the honor of God, who cares about the souls of men, who reads the scripture and studies and prays and preaches and teaches the truth about Christ Jesus, and he incurs the hatred of the whole town? But some crook can come in here with his diamonds and Cadillacs and fine homes and prosper and hoodwink and browbeat and lie and steal and covet, and people run after him like a Pied Piper. That's what Jeremiah's asking. Why? They'll elevate him. They'll praise him. He's a compromiser. He's covetous. He's a hypocrite. He's a liar. He's a huckster. He's a merchandiser of souls. You mean no more to him than a bolt of cloth means to a merchant downtown. You're nothing but merchandise. But we praise him and elevate him and make him wealthy. Why? Why do the righteous often die young and the profane will live to be 99 years old? David Brainerd died, he's 29 years old, and some of these profane blasphemers have painted the air blue with the name of a holy God for 99 years. Well, Jeremiah's not through. Verse 2, he said, and you planted them, Lord. You planted these tares. You planted these thorns. You planted these briars. You gave them breath. You gave them life. They grow, and they, look here, and they bring forth their fruit. Their evil, wicked fruit is brought forth by your own providence and your own purpose. That's what Jeremiah is saying. Look at it, verse 2. You planted them. They have taken root. They grow, and they bring forth fruit. And you planted them. You gave them life. He said they even use your name with their mouth. They run around talking about Jesus, 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 Jesus. But you're not in their heart. Your name's on their mouths. God, Jesus, heaven, hell, cross. Your name's on their mouths, but far from their hearts. Yeah, God created them. God planted them. Hold your hand right there in Jeremiah and turn to Proverbs. Proverbs. 16. Proverbs 16. Listen to this. Proverbs 16, verse 4. The Lord hath made all things for himself. I want you to see this. Proverbs 16, 4. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked. He made them for the day of evil. For the day of evil. Pharaoh, for this same purpose have I raised you up, that I might show my power, my glory in you. Jeremiah said, Lord, you made them. Now verse 3. But thou, Lord, knowest me. You knew me before I was born. The Lord told him that. Hold your hand under text and turn back to Jeremiah 1. Jeremiah 1, listen to this. God said to him in Jeremiah 1:4. You have it? Jeremiah 1:4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before you were a child in the womb, before you were a seed, before you were ever formed, I knew you. Before you came out of the womb, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet to the nation. God ordained all of his sheep, all of his jewels, all of his people, all of his church. He knew them. I knew them. Paul said, God who separated me from my mother's womb called me by his grace. So verse 3 of Jeremiah 12, Jeremiah's just saying, Lord, you know me. You know me with an everlasting love. You know me in your covenant of grace. You knew me before I was born. And you've seen me.
I'm not bragging now about my work. He never mentions his work. He never mentions his righteousness. A man would be a fool 10 times over to do that.
Jeremiah knew who his righteousness is. Turn to Jeremiah 26. Jeremiah 26. Look at here at verse. Jeremiah 23, verse 6. Jeremiah 23, verse 6. Listen to this. I'll read verse 5 and 6. Jeremiah wrote this too. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. That's Christ. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Now Jeremiah knew that his righteousness was not in himself, but in his Lord. He said, Lord, you knew me. And Lord, you've seen me. You've seen me. And thou art my righteousness. You've taken notice of me. You have seen me, and listen to this, and you've tried my heart. You know, like Peter said, sitting by the fire, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Now, Jeremiah is not saying, over here are these wicked people who do wickedly, and you planted them and so forth, but here I am who do good and do righteousness. No, that's not what he said. He said, you know me, and you've seen me and tried me and found my heart to be true to you. These people hate you and despise you and hate your name and would erase it from all memory and from the face of the earth, but you know me, and you've seen me, and you've tried me. You've tried my heart. But I'll tell you what I'd like. Look at verse 3, the last line. He said, Lord, pull them out like sheep for the slaughter. Just like a farmer goes down here to the field, he's going to have some sheep sent to the, not just to shear the wool, but he's going to kill them for lamb chops. He said, pull them out for the slaughter. He said, prepare them for the day of the slaughter. Prepare them for the day of slaughter. Verse 4. For how long shall the land mourn? The land was in mourning. The land was under the judgment of God. Even the herbs of every field withered. Why? The wickedness of them that dwell therein. These wicked men who hate God, who hate truth, who reject and rebel his son and rebel against his gospel, they have brought judgment on the whole land. These wicked men have brought judgment on the whole land. Our land suffers because of the wicked. That's what Jeremiah is saying here. Why, he said, even the birds and even the beasts and even the herbs of the field all suffer because of the wickedness of these men. Now, my friends, let me tell you something. You talk about the famine in Ethiopia. Now, I'm going to be careful here. And I know what I'm going to say is not popular, but Jeremiah is saying the same thing. You talk about India with all of its problems. With all of its problems. Starvation and tragedies. You talk about Mexico. Let me tell you something. Clear back for many centuries, these lands have been lands of idolatry, where they worship beasts, four-footed creatures, build their shrines to idols and creatures of the earth. With all of their darkness and idolatry and heathenism and paganism down in Mexico just a few hundred years ago, they sacrificed human sacrifices, cut people's hearts out and fed them to jaguars. These lands, and our land too, are under the judgment of God because of wickedness. wickedness. Cursed is the nation that forgets God. And you're going to have it, and that's what Jeremiah is saying here. He's mourning. He said these people, they hate God. They worship, when they knew God, they worshiped Him not as God, but they worshiped birds and beasts and snakes and four-footed creeping things and idolatry and pictures and statues and counted beads and bowed and scraped and lay on spikes of iron and all this sort of thing. Worship idols. And He said, because of it, the whole land is mourning, grieving. You can lift up your eyes and look to these lands and look over our own land, and there's going to be some more mourning till the hearts of men turn back to God. Now just write it down. And you're not going to erase the famine because God sent it. You may mop up a little water here and there, but unless the faucet turned off, it's going to keep spreading. Now, let me show you that back here in Jeremiah chapter 11, just across the page there. Jeremiah had predicted judgment, and it hadn't come like he said it was going to come. And he said here, verse 17 of Jeremiah 11, "The Lord God of hosts planted thee, and hath pronounced evil against thee for the evil of the house of Israel and the house of Judah, which they've done against themselves to provoke thee to anger in burning incense to Baal." False gods, idolatry. "And the Lord hath given me knowledge of it," Jeremiah said, "and I know it. Thou showest me their doing. And I was the prophet, and I told them, but I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter. They killed me. They'd kill me if they could. I didn't know they had devised devices against me, saying, 'Let's destroy the tree with the fruit thereof. Destroy the tree and we won't have to put up with the fruit. Destroy this prophet and we won't have to put up with this judgment he talks about. We won't have to put up with this gospel. We won't have to put up with this." See, wouldn't have to destroy the tree, get rid of the fruit. Destroy the prophet and shut his mouth. We won't have to listen to this stuff. "Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered." Watch it now, verse 20. "But O Lord of hosts, that judgest righteously, that triest the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them. For unto thee have I revealed my cause. Therefore thus saith the Lord of the men of Anatroth that seek thy life, saying, Prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand. Therefore," watch this, "thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I'll punish them. I'll visit them. The young men shall die by the sword, and their sons and their daughters shall die by famine." That's what's happened. Jeremiah said, the whole land mourns. Because of these wicked men. He said, "I predicted judgment and it hadn't come. Lord, I'm unhappy with the way things are." And he said, "Now you're righteous and just, but now I want to talk to you about your problem. I don't like the storms and the famines. I don't like the wicked prospering. I don't like the idolatrous getting along all right, believers persecuted, mocked, and your prophet laughed at and scorned. They just don't like it the way it is." All right, verse 5. "And the Lord said, Jeremiah..." Now let me say something. And the Lord says something to Jeremiah in the form of two questions. Number one, He said, "Jeremiah, if you have run with mere men and they've wearied you, how can you contend with horses?" Here's what He's saying. "Jeremiah, if these small trials of life from common causes are too much for you, what will you do when you're faced with great and strong spiritual conflict?" That's what He's asking. "Jeremiah, if you lay down the banner and drop out when men trouble you and persecute you and mock you and disappoint you, what would you do if I turned Satan loose on you?
What would you do then?
Like I did Job.
Or like I did the Apostle Peter.
Jeremiah, if you can't handle the loss of a little prestige, how could you handle the loss of a son or daughter? If you can't handle the loss of a few dollars, how could you handle the loss of a wife or husband? If you can't cope with the common daily trials of the flesh, what would you do if God called upon you to resist unto blood? If you can't stand for the gospel of God's grace and glory against the mockings and the enmity of flesh and blood, what would you do against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places? If you cannot be faithful in the simple few things with which God has trusted you to be faithful, to stand, and having done all to stand, in your place, in your town, in your time, for His gospel, for His glory, if you can't be trusted in those few simple things, how could you be trusted with great things? And mighty things. You can't, if you get weary running with the creature, mere man, what would you do if God put you out there to run with the horses, with the fast runners? That's what He's asking. And then comes the second question. He said, if in the land of peace, really, you haven't resisted the blood. This is a land of peace. All of us got up this morning and from comfortable beds and went to comfortable showers and put on comfortable clothes and ate at a comfortable table and a comfortable chair what we wanted. And got in a comfortable car and drove here to a comfortable auditorium and sat down. And it's that way about all the time. We have all we need and a whole lot more. And if you take the flight in a land of plenty and peace and you're weary in a time of security, what are you going to do in the swelling of the Jordan? Now the swelling of the Jordan comes from Joshua 3:15. That's when Israel crossed over into Canaan. And that's the day of death. The hymn writer describes it this way, sweet fields beyond the swelling flood stand dressed in living green. So to the Jews old Canaan stood with Jordan rolled between. Now Jeremiah, if in the land of peace and plenty and security you're unhappy and dissatisfied and weary and want to throw in the towel and pull down the flag and quit the battle, and you get mad at me, God said, in my providence, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when you come to die? I address the preacher. Preacher, you have the Word of God. What a treasure. You have some understanding. Head and heart of the gospel. You're not in prison for your faith. You have the provisions of God's love in peace. You have the fellowship of God's people and their prayers and support. You have the gospel and the grace of God. And yet you're weary. And you're dissatisfied. And you're unhappy with God's providence. What will you do when God takes all this away? Takes it all away. And you're all alone. And you don't have those things. young person out here. And I know a lot of people pick on young people. I'm not picking on you now. I'm talking to everybody. But you and we live in the lap of plenty. What blessings God's given us. We have so little struggle in life. So little struggle. Down there in Mexico, some of those Mayan Indians get up in the morning wondering what they're going to eat. Finding enough for their families to eat is a problem. Barefooted, dirt floors, wearisome life, hammocks on which to sleep. We have so much. We have such blessings, and yet life is wearisome to you. You're displeased. If you're married, you're displeased. You wish you're single. If you're single, you're displeased. You wish you're married. If you have children, they're a burden to you. You want to put them off on somebody else. If you don't have children, you wish you had them. You want responsibility, yet you complain if you got it. You want a job so badly, but you gripe when you have to go to work. We just don't like it the way it is. But God says, if you get weary with the way it is in this land of plenty and peace and comfort, what are you going to do when all of it's swept away? Huh? What are you going to do? If you complain when you can walk, what are you going to do when you can't walk? If we complain when we can see, what are we going to do when we can't see and everything's darkness? Nothing to hold to. Men can't hear, bear. They can't bear to hear the truth of God read to them by a man. What are they going to do when God reads it to them? That frightens me. Pointed unto me and wants to die, die, die. Lay it down. Depart from it. And after that, judgment. We can't praise God for His sovereignty now. What will we do when Revelation 19, they say, just and holy are His judgments? That's what He's saying to Jeremiah. Jeremiah is discontent and unhappy and weary and finding fault with God's providence, the way God does things. He said, I'm not, Lord, don't misunderstand, I'm not charging with the unrighteous. No believer will do that. God's just and holy. But I want to register my complaints. I'm not happy. I'm not content. I'm not sad. I want things to be done differently. God said, Jeremiah, let me tell you something. If you run with mere men, with mere common causes, and you're weary, what are you going to do when I bring out the horses? I tell you, you'll be back down to the stable. And if in this land I've provided for you, it's met your needs in every way, and in this land of peace and security, you find fault with my promise, what are you going to do when you're out yonder by yourself, and I say, get ready to meet God? Well, men and brethren, what shall we do? Why don't we do like Job? Old Job said, I've heard of you, Lord, by the hearing of the ear, and now mine eye seeth thee, and I repent in dust and ashes. Let's pull the ashes up and the dust and do some repentance. Let's do some repentance. He said, I'm vile. I'm vile. I lay my hand on my mouth. I'm going to shut my mouth. I'm not going to complain anymore. Once have I spoken, but I'll proceed no further. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And though worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I'm going to see the Lord. Even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. I'm going to praise Him and trust Him and believe Him. And I've learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. Not to tolerate it, to be content. To be content. Well, if you've run with mere horses, I mean with men, with mere men, and you don't like it, and you're weary, what will you do when God turns the horses loose? And if in the land of plenty we find fault with His providence, what are we going to do when God calls all of us to give an account? Our Father, Christ is our peace. Like Jeremiah, we can say, Lord, He is our righteousness, the Lord our righteousness. And You're righteous and just in all Your ways. And in our heads and with our tongues we confess the truth of Thy righteous judgment. But Lord, we want to experience it in our heart. Experience Thee. We want to love Thee with such a love and trust Thee with such a faith and lean upon Thee with such a committal that in all things, in all places, in all ways, we shall be content. Content with beholding Thy face. My all to Thy treasures resign. No season, no changes of season or place would make any change in my mind. While blessed with a sense of Your love, a palace, a toy would appear, and prisons would palaces prove if You dwell with me there. Lord, may my heart be so knit to Thee that in my work, pleasing or displeasing, in my pain or joy, in my night or day, in my loneliness or happiness, in my suffering or joy, that I shall find peace and rest and comfort in Thee at all times and in all ways. Be satisfied with Thy presence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.